I gotta say, guys, sleep these days has become really important because, well, we're not getting much of it, but when we do sleep, it's gotta be good sleep. And Helix Sleep Mattress has been such a perfect addition to Christian and I's life to get a good night's sleep. If you don't know anything about Helix Sleep, you actually can go on their website and you can take a 2-minute quiz that matches to your body type and your sleep preferences, and so you can get the perfect mattress for you. I mean, why would you buy a mattress anywhere else? You can just go to helixsleep.com/Sadie, take their 2-minute quiz, and they'll match you with a customized mattress that best suits your sleep. That's helixsleep.com/Sadie for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows. Welcome back to the One That's Good podcast. Y'all, actually welcome myself back because I'm the one that's been gone. Y'all been here. You've been here. You've been hosted.
I hosted one.
Mom hosted one. Yeah.
This is our new office space.
No, the... I guess kind of. This is actually Honey's room. So
she has her own room,
Yeah, but she pretty much stays in our room,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just real life. Yeah. But yeah, so mom's hosted, dad's hosted with Crowder. That was hilarious. Corn dogs and cheese sticks.
That was an interesting one.
That was.
John Lucas hosted with Chris McClarney. That one was awesome.
I honestly thought my dad forgot to ask the question, but he just waited to the end. So that was kind of unique.
6 minutes left, he did ask
it. And it kept me engaged. I was like, is he ever going to ask, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And he did, and it was awesome. Crowder's advice was so good. So it's been a fun month. I've missed being on the podcast. I'm glad to be back. And so we thought, what better way to kick it off with our birth story? Because, you know, obviously the reason I was gone is because we had a baby. Little Honey James is finally here. And it was crazy because even the podcast before that, I was so pregnant towards the end. I was like, I cannot breathe normal. I can't talk normal. I have to pee every 5 seconds. And
so
I was laughing at everything, and my laugh was so loud. So I'm glad to be back to, you know, more myself. I love pregnancy, but now also having Honey here is a gift. And so we wanted to share our birth story because birth stories are super popular. Everybody loves to hear a good birth story. And ours was really amazing. It was wild and crazy and scary and all the things.
Yeah.
And so without further ado, let's just get to the story.
Let's just get to the story.
So I kind of...
Disclaimer. It's our birth story, but she's the one that gave birth.
Yeah. Do you think that they thought you gave birth?
No, but you just said our birth story. I was just letting them know that it's about you.
Well, we're together. And you were a great partner.
Thank you.
So back up way before we had birth, and I have to just say, I am like the biggest preparer of all time. Am I not? Like anything I'm going to do, I have to like prepare for a lot. So if I'm going to speak, I'm preparing 6 months before the conference ever happens. Like I love to be prepared. I don't really like to walk into a scenario unprepared. And so when it came to birth, I was like, oh, I got 40 weeks to get prepared. And so
you planned to prepare every single step.
Oh, I had planned and prepared everything I could. Like I watched every single YouTube video from epidural, no epidural, this way, that way, this method,
this,
that method,
this
at home, at the hospital, this exercise, that tea to drink, this whatever. So I read it all, I saw it all, and honestly, I tried it all. If it was like a method,
none of it honestly worked.
Well, you're jumping ahead.
I am jumping ahead, but...
But we'll get to that. The point is, I was going to be very prepared. And so I had a plan. I wanted to have a natural birth. I really wanted to do it with no epidural, but I wanted to do it in the hospital. My plan was my water would naturally break. I'd labor at the house for a little while. We'd have a doula come to the house.
You thought you'd be on a walk and it would just break.
I thought I would just be walking one day and pop. There goes the water, the movie moment. I'd labor at the house, barely make it to the hospital, had the baby naturally, pushed through the pain, but you know, all the things. Well, let me just tell you, none of that happened. Everything I planned for did not happen, but
except the pains at the house.
I have to say, yeah, I did have pains at the house. Nothing that I planned for happened, but everything that I prayed for happened. And that was really cool because there were so many things Christian and I specifically prayed. And I'll go ahead and tell you the three prayers we prayed, and I'll get to the three later. But one prayer was that Honey would be strong. The next prayer that she would be sweet, because the verse that her name is kind of after is in Proverbs 16, where it says, gracious words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And we love that the honey in and of itself is so sweet, but it's also so strong. And so we pray to be sweet and strong. And we also prayed that she would have a lion inside of her lungs that would be fighting for her. So when she's born, that she would just breathe out just the praise of God. It says in Psalms 8:2, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength. And I love that. And so that's what I was praying, that honey would just already be establishing strength. And whenever she comes out, that strength would be just heard in the room, and that she would be like, have that lion from the tribe of Judah in her lungs fighting for her. And when she cried, it would be like the sound of praise. Mm-hmm. And I like couldn't wait to have her to hear that sound. So that was a prayer. So anyways, and I prayed for my water to break and all mm-hmm. these silly other little things. But I just really, that's the three things that were really important to me. That she would be sweet, that she would be strong, she would have a lion inside of her lungs.
Yeah.
And that her little cry would be like the sound of praise. So anyways, like I said, none of the things I planned for happened. And at the end of pregnancy, you know, I'm super pregnant, really big. And, you know, we're thinking waddling it's got to be any day now,
you were
right?
Waddling.
And everybody was telling me, you know, try to eat eggplant, try to drink raspberry tea, try to do a bouncy ball, try to crawl around the house on all fours. And when I tell you, I was on all fours with my pregnant belly.
Did we get that one on video?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. All over this house. I drank the raspberry tea. I did the rose oil. Everything on Google on how to induce labor, I did, and nothing happened. I even did the whole membrane stripping thing three times. Nothing happened. I mean, this baby was like in there to stay, okay? So, but again, I wanted to wait it out. I wanted it to happen naturally. I wanted to wait. And finally, Christian looked at me and he said, Sadie, look, okay, if you get to 41 weeks and nothing has happened, then I think that you should start really listening to the doctor. Because the doctor had told me at this point, like, back up to like 38 weeks, he kind of started mm-hmm. telling me, you know, you need to think about getting induced. This could end in a C-section because the baby's really big. So the best chance is you get induced. And then that's just the best for you and the baby.
Yeah.
So he was kind of telling me that. He was kind of saying that's going to be the best option. But in my mind, I was like, no, I want to go natural. And then if I'm going to get induced, then it would kind of throw off the whole plan, everything I prepared. And so then I was like, I might as well just get the epidural. And so anyways, I was thinking, but there's no way I'm going to go to 41 weeks. Well, of course I do. 41 weeks comes and
we went back to the doctor.
And it was really sweet because the night before that I was praying about it. And I just felt such a peace knowing that, I guess a peace in the surrender of like God, mm-hmm. I actually don't want my plan. I actually want your plan. And so if tomorrow I go in and I'm not, if I haven't dilated anymore, if I haven't changed, then like, I really want your plan. I really don't want mine. Mm-hmm. So I surrender that. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. So we went in, and I'm not kidding, after three membrane strips or whatever and every labor induction thing you can possibly try, I had not dilated at all and I had not progressed at all.
Zero.
Zero. And so the doctor was like, it's time, you know. And so I said, well, what are you doing tonight? He was like, you ready? I'm like, I'm ready. So we went home and we got our stuff, and on the way to the hospital, I was like so excited, you know. We started getting giddy. I mean, really, I kind of just already surrendered my plan and my prayer the night before. But I did tell Christian, I was like, I can't believe my water didn't break, because like that would sort of been so fun for that movie moment. But that's fine, whatever. And so it's just kind of silly. Well, we get there, get into the room, and we prayed the whole way there, and we prayed for nurses who would be spirit filled, and all these prayers that really were above and beyond. And we were just like, and even if we don't encounter that, God, we were like, would we just be the type of people that we would be so, our eyes would be so fixed on you that whenever we have this baby, everyone in the room would be impacted by just your presence there. Because I know you're going to be near, and I know you're going to be my strength. And so would we just carry such a peace and a presence that people would see that? So we prayed for that too. Well, we get there, and it was just so cool to see all these prayers unfold. So first of all, my nurse was actually, like, the first nurse member was, like, a big fan, but not in a, like, funny way. She was like, I actually watched so many of your videos, and they, like, changed my life this year, and I was going through such a hard time. It was just so sweet. And so she was just amazing, so nice. And then whenever she hooked me up, she said, so are you having any contractions? And I said, no, girl. I was like, I have not progressed at all. I was like, but I mean, I've had like a million pains, so I don't really know what that means. She hooks me up and she's like, you're having contractions. She's like, you're in labor. And I was like, what? So I had like no idea I was in labor. And I just happened to go in because the doctor said it was time. And so they were like, well, you're going to be fine. Like, you're great. And so they said, well, let's try to, like, we're going to put you on Pitocin, labor through the night. So got on Pitocin, so it made my contractions happen a little bit more. And, you know, that was getting a little bit more intense.
And more painful.
And more painful. So I was pretty much up all night. And then at 6 a.m., I was like, okay, it's time. I'm getting the epidural. So I called the nurse and I'm like, hey, like, can I get an epidural? She's like, yes. And the epidural lady came in, and it was just so cool because I was telling Christian, I was like, Christian, this is so cool. Like, people are like texting me saying they're praying for me, and they don't even know that I'm in the hospital right now, like having her. And whenever I said that to Christian, the epidural nurse said, that's so sweet. She was like, I just want to let you know I was praying for you on my way here. And I was just praying that I would do the best job that I can, that God would just use my hands to do the best that I can. And it was just so cool because, again, like another person who was just like so kind and spirit-filled. And anyways, she did do the best job ever because that thing was awesome, I have to say. It was amazing.
It was a game changer.
It was a game changer. I felt so good. Honestly, I've been in so much pain my whole pregnancy that it was like the one moment in all of it, I mean, from pregnancy and then like even going into postpartum, how much pain. It was like the one day I actually didn't have that much pain. It was crazy because it's labor.
It was the one couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours. Not, trust me, yeah, it's painful. A couple hours. So that was going great. We were having a blast. I mean, we were laughing and just excited about our baby. Christian was dancing to the beat of our baby's heartbeat. I mean, it was just a joyful day. And then even your mom coming in, like, that was amazing. Yeah. His parents got in just in time.
Like 10 minutes
be there.
Before we...
So that was sweet because they're from Florida. So everything was just, like, really falling into place and just really beautiful. So then it came time to push, and this is when things get a little crazy.
No. Back up to your
water break. Oh, the water break. Yeah. Okay, I forgot. Gosh, there's so many details. So that morning, whenever...
So you got the epidural at 6, around 9, 9:30.
About 9, 9:30, the doctor came in, and he said, okay, you know, you're check you, and he was like, your water hasn't broken yet, so I'm going to need to break your water. And I was like, dang it. Like, I wish my water would have broken on its own, but okay. And
But before he said that, he said he had to go to another surgery. So he was going to come back in to break your water.
So tell the story from your perspective of what happened.
No. So I'm saying, so you get there for like 6, around like 9 or 9:30. He came back in to check on her. And then he said, I have to go do a C-section real quick. But when I come back, we'll break your water. And before he was about to walk out to go to the C-section...
So, actually, what happened... Should I tell the true story?
No, just...
It's kind of funny.
No, just tell the water breaking.
I know, but should I tell it? No, don't. No. I think I have to. No?
No.
You really don't think it should?
Okay, just, okay, you're too far in. Just
okay, so honestly, I kind of pooped in the bed. And I was like, I looked at the doctor, and he was trying to explain to me how he's going to come back for the C-section, and I just start uncontrollably laughing. It wasn't not so awkward.
It was awkward.
So I started laughing. I said, look, I'm so sorry.
It was
sorry.
Awkward because he thought he was going to clean it. So.
Well, no. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to listen to what you're about to say, but like, I am pretty sure I'm pooping right now, and I can't really tell because of the epidural, and I feel really weird about it. My mom and Christian were just like laughing, and I was laughing, and he was not laughing like at all. And I was like, I know this is so embarrassing. I'm so sorry I even told you that. I just felt like I needed to tell somebody because you're trying to talk to me and I don't think I'm really listening. And he goes, no, I think your water just broke. And I was like, No. That, trust me, I don't think that was my water.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I think your water just broke. And I was like, no, don't look.
So as she's saying this, she's trying to encourage him not to come look. So she's like sniffing and like trying to like look just to prepare herself. So that actually happened.
I was so embarrassed. Anyways, it was my water. My water did break, which was just so crazy because literally when he said, I'm going to come back to break your water, I start laughing, thinking something else happened. And then that actually was my water breaking in that moment. So that was actually pretty
crazy.
And
you didn't get number two.
And I didn't. So, which does happen to people. If that happens to you, it's fine. It happens. But that actually did not happen. It really was my water.
Yep.
And it was pretty hilarious. And that was probably one of my favorite memories from the day. I can't believe I forgot to tell that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like, the whole day, it was so crazy. So many things happened. So that was cool. Then...
So that was cool.
Fast forward to the pushing. This is when things get crazy.
This is a few hours after that, yeah.
A few hours later. So that was 9 in the morning, 2 o'clock. It was like time to go. So we started pushing and like, side note, we had worship on all day long, okay? Mm-hmm. Worship was in the room, which really was amazing. And I would highly encourage going into labor, like blast worship music. There was such a peace and such a strength. I mean, so many times I just found myself just worshiping throughout the day. And our nurses even were worshiping as, mm-hmm. I was pushing. It was kind of funny. I remember we were all singing, those who wait on the Lord shall renew. Well, we were just in worship. It was awesome. And so everything was going good. And then there was, I got to the stage where it was about to happen. Like the head was coming through and the doctor told me the next push, she's here. And so I knew that was about to happen. And Oceans was on. I specifically remember that. It was very chaotic, but it was like so motivational, honestly, in the moment. And so I go to push and everything gets like crazy. Like I all of a sudden was like pushed down on the bed and like they pushed my mom out of the way. And every nurse in the room was like just over me. And they were pulling my legs and like pushing my stomach as hard as they could. And honestly, I didn't know what happened. I thought they had to like go into, like I thought they cut me open. I thought something happened. They cut me open because of how painful it was when they pressed on my stomach. I didn't know what, now I know they were pressing my pelvic bone to get her out because what happened was Honey got stuck. So her shoulder got stuck, which is really, really rare. And since then, we found out that only happens in about 1% of births. And it's what our nurse said is the scariest thing that can happen in a vaginal delivery. And so they said when it happened for them, like time just stood still. Because what was happening is the shoulder was clamping the umbilical cord, causing her not to get air. And so in that moment, like every second counts. And they couldn't get her out for 2 minutes and 10 seconds. So this really was very scary and really dangerous. Thankfully, I didn't know what was going on. And besides, I knew something was wrong because of the pain. And like the doctor had just told me, next push, she's here. And so what normally takes 3 to 5 seconds took 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then her knee got stuck after they got her shoulder out. So it was just like chaotic. So in that scenario, what typically happens is they break the shoulder to get the baby out. And then they had to take them straight to the NICU because they've lost so much oxygen at that point. They normally can't breathe on their own. and you're looking at some serious problems. If the baby does not come out in 3 minutes, which she did in 2 minutes, and they push her back in and do go to an emergency C-section. So there's a lot of like, what could happen? What could have happened? What if that happened? And honestly, that was like a whole lot to deal with later, which I think we're going to talk about in the postpartum podcast. But anywho, they got her out and it was crazy because one thing through the day, like I said, we had worship going and Christian had mentioned earlier that day, like that morning, he said, I really want to play that song, Million Little Miracles, when Honey comes out. And I was like, Christian, if you turn away from me the moment she comes out to go search Spotify for a song, like, do not miss that moment. So whatever song comes on, it's going to be powerful and we're going to always remember it. Well, the crazy thing is, like, when she came out, she wasn't breathing. And, her face was, like, purple and her body was, like white. Red.
She was, like screaming.
And it... No, she wasn't screaming.
No, not yet, but I'm saying
No, she was not breathing at all. And so it was like very scary. And all of a sudden, in like the silence of the room, it was like silent. All of a sudden you hear the song Million Little Miracles come on. And he didn't do it. Like he did not click the song. It just happened to be next, which doesn't even make sense because that song had already played that day. I mean, I don't even know. And so... like in the moment of them taking her from me to the table to try to get her to breathe, I'm just listening to that. Like, I got miracles on miracles and million little miracles. And then all of a sudden, like, we heard the prayer that we prayed, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the roar, if you will, the praise. She literally just like screamed. And it was just a miracle because like the nurses said, like she really should not have been breathing on her own. Like they're about to take her to the NICU and she just started breathing on her own. Like they gave her a little oxygen that they had there and then she just did it on her own. Then it was a miracle because her shoulder wasn't even broken, which they tried to break it to get it out. So it was supposed to be broken and it wasn't broken. And then the nurses came and they're like, well, it has to be dislocated. It wasn't even dislocated. They had three doctors check her shoulder because they were in disbelief. It didn't break. It wasn't dislocated. And she started to breathe and never had to have any other care because she just did it. She was so strong. Mm-hmm. And they said that the doctor said, they're like, well, because she's so strong, like that's probably what made her shoulder stuck is because of how big she is. But also what made her okay is because she's so strong because she is.
She got stuck because she's so big, but she was okay because
she's so big. And so it was just amazing. So in that day, we experienced like such a peace that surpassed all understanding. We experienced a miracle. We experienced... just the things that we prayed and the sweetness that she carried and the strength that she carried and the cry that she came out with. And the reason I prayed that prayer, which seems so random, is yes, I heard that sermon about that verse that the children sound is like praise. But also, whenever I had COVID, I was pregnant with her. And I was struggling to breathe whenever I had COVID because my lungs were, you know, getting attacked. And there's a song called Gratitude, and in the bridge it says, oh, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. And this is like, lift up your song or something because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And so I kept praying that for myself, that like I would not get, like my soul would not get shy. Like I would not get so weak that I couldn't praise the Lord. And so I would just pray that that lion would just fight for me. And I prayed that for her when I prayed that for me, that during her birth, the same thing would happen, that she would just worship. And it was just amazing that she really did. Yeah. And so we really saw a lot that day. And one thing that we've been talking about a lot is just like, what it looks like to experience a miracle, because miracles are obviously miraculous. That's what they are. And like, there's such a joy when a miracle happens, right? Like when you see a miracle, you're like, wow, God did a miracle. But like for the person like experiencing a miracle, normally when you need a miracle, it comes out of a moment of desperation. It comes out of a scary moment where you literally need something supernatural to happen in order for someone that you love to be okay. Like that moment for me was like, is my baby that I just, you know, carried and that I already love gonna be okay because she's not breathing? Like that 2 minutes and 10 seconds where you're like, I need a miracle, is so scary. And then it happened and we rejoice, but there's such a process to even like all the fear and stuff we experienced in that time. So we didn't even listen to that song for like...
No, like 5 weeks.
Five weeks. It was traumatic, yeah. But then when we did, it was just amazing. We just rejoiced and we're so thankful. And we also understand that, you know, a lot of people going through labor and delivery, that the miracle doesn't happen, that the baby isn't okay or the mama isn't okay. And we want to say, like, we can't imagine, you know, that feeling, because we know how scary it was when we thought it wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And so our heart goes out to everyone in that position. And I know that even though that is so bad, I know God is still good. And I know that even in the moment where it was so scary for me, there was a peace that surpassed understanding. You know, there was a strength in the room that the worship carried. And I pray that you feel that too. You know, that wherever you're in, whatever situation you're going through, whether you received the miracle or you didn't, that the miraculous power of God's strength would just be with you to carry you.
Yeah.
And so we processed that, and it's crazy. And we're so thankful for our daughter. But it was just the wildest day. I mean, it was amazing and hard. And
yeah, it was the craziest 12
and
hours.
And funny, like the poop thing. But then like, what in the world? Like the seriousness of the moment. Mm-hmm. It was like crazy.
Well, we didn't know the seriousness of it until like that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I started to get a hint about the seriousness of it as I was being stitched for hours. And I was like, something went real wrong. And of course, the seriousness of it. When she wasn't breathing, I knew something was wrong, but not until the nurses came back and told us. But you know what's amazing? This is so cool. So I told y'all that we really prayed that the nurses would be impacted by just whatever happens in the room, the worship, the strength of God, the peace of God, joy, all the things, the peace that I carried and all that different stuff. Well, one of our nurses that was like the main nurse that kind of really took over in the moment whenever Honey's shoulder got stuck, she... wrote us a letter, and it was just the most amazing thing, because she was like, I can't even tell you like how much that impacted me. She was like, the worship y'all had in the room set the tone of the whole room. And she said, like, seeing the way that the water broke at the time that the doctor said the water was gonna break, and that Honey breathed and that her shoulder was okay, and she began to recall all the things that happened, like, which was really cool, because we didn't even tell them, like, those are the things we were believing for. But, like, she noticed all those things. And so it just, like, made us realize, like, when you're intentional with your prayers and, like, what you want to see God do and, like, what he can do through you, like, it's amazing to see, like, what your testimony does in the lives of others watching. Like, she got to see God because, like, we set an intention for that day to be able to see God. And it was just, like, so cool. So she wrote us that letter, and, like, we loved our nurses. It was amazing. And everyone in that room just experienced something that we've never really experienced before, which was amazing.
And Honey was also 9 pounds and 5 ounces.
Yeah.
So almost every nurse, like, hospital administrator person came in, they're like, oh, wow, she's a big baby.
Like, we just wanted to see how big she is. We heard she's so big.
Yeah,
and
so
we
she
heard
kinda
her shoulder's okay.
Her, so.
Yeah, just she did kind of get made fun of for her chunkiness. She's a chunky miracle. Yeah. It's amazing. But
yeah,
she really is
miracle.
So strong. It's crazy. Like, I heard that it takes babies, like, 3 months to, like, hold their head up. And literally,
on day four,
we put it on her tummy, and she was like, hello, world.
And she's very alert.
Like, she's so, and I know we're going to be those parents that are like, she's a genius.
I'm not going to, you're
not.
Oh,
I am. When she held her head up, I'm like, this girl is going to the Olympics. I'm telling you, she's the most athletic thing I've ever seen. Like, I am totally, totally that mom. But hey, why not? I feel like it's fun to me.
We'll balance each other out.
We will. We'll balance each other out for sure. And honestly, we're just so grateful. And there she is right there. You want to see if she can come in? We'll try.
Whatever condition she has.
Honey is very loud. She's still got that lion inside of her lungs. And
she's an opinionated 7-week-old.
She is. Come on, sweet girl.
Hi.
Oh, no. Sweet girl. Hey, show them how big you are. Wow, you are so big. You're so strong. See, I told him you were going to the Olympics one day. Okay, Mom, so we're calling you in because you were there for the whole thing and you experienced it all. And we were just talking about, which Christian actually told me not to say it, but I like had to say it whenever I thought I pooped the bed, but it was my water breaking.
Classic Christian, you telling you not to go too far, and then you just just go all the way.
I had to give the people what they were going to be dying to know because I was like, should I tell them? He was like, no. And I was like, really? He's like, no, don't say it. And I was like, really? You don't think I should say it? He's like, no. Because we always talk about this, how like I do not get embarrassed, which is really to a fault a lot of times because I'll just say something. But Christian experienced like secondhand embarrassment from what I should really be embarrassed by. Okay. No,
that's your superpower, Sadie. Wow. I think that's your superpower that you don't get embarrassed because you tell the fun stuff. That's all the details people want to know. And all the women out there totally that have had babies totally get it and totally relate. So
that's true. Well, thank you, know. You, Mom. Thank you. But how extremely awkward was that moment, honestly? Like whenever we were all laughing and the doctor did not laugh at all.
Actually, you say you don't get embarrassed and you really don't, but I actually think I saw embarrassment across your face in that moment. And it was so weird for me to see because you usually don't. But yeah, you were like, I think I just pooped myself. And the doctor just didn't respond really. He kind of just looked at the monitor and I walked over to try to comfort you. I started to like pat your arm to be like, it's okay. It's really okay. It happened, you know.
You did.
But I was thankful that the outcome was what it was and not what you thought it was.
Well, yeah, I was just saying it was just so awkward. And I did actually get embarrassed. And I wasn't embarrassed about the situation. I was embarrassed that he did not find it funny. And then I was like, oh, well, it's really not going to be funny whenever this is not water. So anyways, that was hilarious. And then we got to the point of talking about also – of course, this intensity. And I was just kind of sharing how everything was going great. And I was honestly, such a joy-filled day. It was fun. It was, you know, painful the way that labor is painful. But I told him I had an awesome epidural and I got to give it to the epidural doctor because that was fantastic. But still painful. But then whenever I went to do the final push, I told him Oceans was playing. It was very motivating and everything was great. And then it all of a sudden got really chaotic. And I kind of mentioned how they pushed me down on the bed and they pushed you out of the way. And so from your perspective, because you've been in several labors before, what did that feel like to you? Did you know something was off?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say it was just absolutely the greatest honor of my life to get to see my baby girl have her own baby. And it was such a joyful day. And it was so sweet to see you and Christian's relationship in the moment throughout the day, in the fun times when there was so much laughter and fun, and in the worship and the prayerfulness that came with bringing Honey into the world, and the way that y'all were just such a team was so sweet to be a witness to. And you can't see me, but I'm getting a little teared up thinking about it. Aww. So just the whole day was really that special is, you know, as you can imagine. And
before you even go there though, I have to say, because I didn't say this when Christian was here, but he really was the best partner ever. And honestly, I told him, my goodness. I said, babe, you need to do a YouTube for guys just like going into labor with their wives, because I feel like that's just like a very unknown time. And he just handled himself so well and was so encouraging and was so supportive. And I mean, all day making us laugh, but also just affirming me and like who I am, what I was doing. And he would be embarrassed if I said this, but I'll say it when I'm not here. Remember what he said to me whenever I was like, I was literally pushing it. He was like saying all the right things. He's like, you're doing great. You're doing so good. And all of a sudden he just goes, you're the sexiest person to ever give birth. And I just start laughing so hard. And I didn't even say anything when he said it. I just like laughing and like kept going. I don't even know if I laughed, but internally I was laughing because like I was pushing, so I probably didn't laugh. Yeah, I don't even think I actually laughed in the moment. Yes. But it was so funny to me. So then later, like, we were like reminiscing on the day, and I was like, Christian, do you remember whenever you said you're the sexiest person? He's like, I do remember that. And he's like, I didn't even think you noticed it. And I was like, I internally thought it was so funny, but it was like too intense to laugh.
Well, he was like, when you brought it up to me, he was like, you told me to, I was just trying to think of anything encouraging I could think of. And that was the most encouraging thing I could think of in the moment.
It was. It worked. That was hilarious.
It was so sweet. He was the best partner, teammate. He just kept his eyes locked on you, and he just had in, like, y'all were looking at each other's eyes, encouraging one another, and it was a really sweet moment to see. So definitely, he should do a tutorial about that. And I know that a lot of that was because y'all did prepare, and I thought that was really neat and special about your relationship, which where y'all did prepare for that moment. Say, okay, when it gets hard, this is what I need from you. And then when it gets like this, or, you know, if you could just do this for me, it would be such a great help. And you're so good at encouraging him as well. So I would definitely, those of you who are in, you know, pregnant right now and about to go through the labor process, really prepare your heart and your mind and your spouse, and let them know what you're going to need in that moment. And,
which,
you know,
we did talk about,
really neat to see.
We talked about how much I did prepare and how, like, really everything I prepared for and planned for, it didn't actually happen. Like, I thought I was going to do this and this and that didn't really happen. But what did happen is we did prepare in the sense of I had had a whole, like, shared notes with Christian that I, like, put in, like, declarations, affirmations, scriptures. I put in the worship playlist we listened to all day, and I put in like things that I would like love from him. And it was like, whenever it gets hard, like lock eyes with me, affirm me, tell me, like, you know, we're about to meet her or something. And like, he did all those things. And yes, I like asked him to do it beforehand, but it meant so much that he did. And like, you know, in that moment, that really did help. And so, yes, the preparation that I went through was kind of funny. I will admit and agree that I over-prepared, but some of it really came in handy.
Absolutely. It really did.
So back to the moment.
Okay. So back to the moment. Yes. So everything was, it was just very smooth and beautiful to see. And yes, you were, you know, experienced pain like labor, anything really, really great comes with some hardship and difficulty to get there. But yeah, so I was right there, you know, kind of right by your side, helping you, encouraging you as well to push. Christian was right at your face, just looking at you. And we were in that moment where, you know, the baby was about to come out, and, her head, are we telling details like this? I don't know. You can cut this out.
I told it.
Okay. Okay, so her head comes out, and I've just had the privilege of being in another birth, which has been amazing. It's a miracle every single time. So normally when the head comes out, you know, the next push, the rest of the body just comes out and just follows. You know, that's just kind of how it happens. And it's just happens all really quickly. It's kind of like this slow process, and all of a sudden it's just like here. Well, honey's head came out, and then the next push, nothing happened. And I could kind of notice the doctors and nurses, because I have been in this before, and realize, oh, wait, okay, this is not quite what was supposed to happen. Notice they get a little nervous, and then a little bit more nervous. And then a nurse comes and just kind of like says, let me take over right here, and just pushes me out of the way. And I kind of come up to say to you and just start kind of encouraging you to just kind of let you know that everything's going to be okay. Cause I don't know what you're understanding right now. If you're nervous, or if you think this is normal or what.
I remember you saying, I remember being a little panicked for a second, just not knowing what was happening. And I thought that they had to cut me open or something, cause I didn't know what the pain was or what was going on. And then I remember you saying, they know what they're doing. You're okay. They know what they're doing. And just let them do what they know to do. And then I think you got a little faint because we lost you.
Yeah. So that's the part. I'm up there encouraging you. Then all of a sudden I feel I start getting a little lightheaded. Things start going a little fuzzy in front of me. And I thought, they certainly do not need me fainting in this moment. That would be the worst.
That would have been
scenario.
The worst.
And they're like, we're trying to birth your baby, and all the nurses are so attentive to you. And like, literally, like, I mean, I think you had four nurses like pushing with you, like physically pushing your stomach, pulling. I mean, this is kind of a tough scenario, but I thought about, if you've seen it on like I don't know, National Geographic or something, where like the horse is born and literally the vet is like pulling the foal out. It was kind of like that. I mean,
I
it was that
like a horse. Like, I did.
Everyone comes to attention and like is pulling, pushing, and I'm about to faint. And I'm like, okay, we do not need this right now in this moment. So I just kind of step back and sat down in the chair and like lean my head forward a little bit. And afterwards,
I think that the funniest thing is that,
I was going to say about the nurse, you going to tell that?
Didn't you say you were going to pray? Or did they just think you went to pray?
I didn't say it. Yes. Afterwards, the nurse said she thought I went back and sat down to pray. And I was like, well, yes, I was praying. I definitely was praying. But also, I was about to faint. So anyway, so I sat down for a minute and I legitimately was praying. And it was absolutely amazing worship filled moment, because I know y'all probably told about the song Miracles was playing, and
yes,
I really was praying for a miracle. We knew that we needed honey to come out, all of her. Mm-hmm. And we needed it quickly, and so I was definitely praying as well and trying not to faint and praying that I would not faint too.
Yes.
And yeah, she comes out and her coloring is not great, because it had been a little while that she had been a little bit in distress and her coloring was not great. And I just remember praying God that God would give her breath and that she would just turn pink. And mm-hmm. It was just like a miracle. It was in that moment. She yeah. just turned the perfect little beautiful pink. And she started breathing, and we were like, thank you, God, everything's going to be all right. And it was really beautiful, holy, miracle, spirit-filled moment
yeah.
that
it was.
I'll never forget.
It was.
Never forget.
What I hear that my face is pretty much the color of, you can't see my shirt right now, but white, that I was looking like.
You were.
Like I was also about to pass out. I didn't feel that way. I was just felt
yes.
very just. I was like, it just kind of felt like I was frozen in time, honestly. But mm-hmm. And then the yeah. other funny thing. Oh wait, go ahead.
I was gonna say I wasn't sure, you know, what you were knowing or realizing or what. So I follow, you know, them over to the station with honey to kind of make sure everything's good and all that. And that's when she's kind of turning pink. And I say, like, is she going to have to go to the NICU? And they're like, well, we hope not. We're going to give her, you know, we're going to give her a little oxygen and watch her a little bit. And so I'm still praying and I look back over at you. Yeah. And you're like as white as the sheet. And so, cause it was a very difficult, I know that like, it's hard to convey, but you worked really hard. It was a very hard labor and hard delivery. And you were as pale as a ghost, but you were glowing on the inside, because I could tell you were so happy yeah. to get to finally meet your little girl.
Mm-hmm. I was so happy. It was crazy. I don't know if we can cut this out if he doesn't want to share this, but I think this is pretty funny. Whenever y'all were over there and they were giving honey oxygen and seeing if she was going to have to go to the NICU and everybody was checking her shoulder, you want to tell what Christian's concern was?
Oh, yeah. In all the preparation, we forgot to warn Christian that babies come out with a little cone head because, you know, out for a little while. And so all babies have a little bit of a cone head. But honey, she had a pretty good cone head. She was stuck for quite a while. You pushed for a long time. And so her head didn't quite look normal at first when she first came out, but that's what all babies look like. Every one of my babies look like, you know, when they first come out. And Christian says, does anybody notice that her head looks a little weird? Like she's like really nice, and said it to me, and the nurse is like, has anybody checked on that? And we all just kind of started laughing. It was a great little light
that
moment.
So
we
were funny. Like, and he didn't even
totally normal. Promise.
He really didn't know that that was a thing. It was so funny. He was telling me later, yeah. and he was like, I mean, everybody's over there checking her oxygen and checking her shoulder, and I'm like, does anybody see her head? Like, something's wrong with her head. And so I thought that was so funny.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the reasons they put those little hats on babies, you know, on newborns when they first come out, they put a little hat on just because, you know,
yeah,
their head, it's to keep them warm. But also, yeah, whenever you see a newborn, you usually see them with a little hat on so you don't notice the cone head underneath.
I never even saw the cone head. I just saw her with the hat. So I didn't even know what the talk was about. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. All in all, it was just the best day ever. And we were so grateful, obviously, for all the little miracles. That song could not be more accurate to the day. It's the best way to explain it. It's just that song, the words to that song. And having you there was so special. And we're going to get to the postpartum in another podcast. But I might have to call you in on that one too, because you really saw me at the worst moments and the best moments. And so thanks for being there along the whole journey, Mom.
I would not have missed any second of it. I loved every bit of it. And I just think that that day was pretty amazing and one that we'll never forget. And little honey girl is worth every ounce of the little pains or emotions or ups and downs that you went through to get her here.
That's right. Little honey Jay, she's awesome. Well, thanks, Mom. Love you.